Mikey, who the hell is this?
I don't know. Where'd you find this guy from?
Sir, do you have a pass or anything?
I was just walking around on the street.
Can we help you?
Pulled me in and told me you guys needed a third person. I don't know what the hell's going on. What's this a show about?
Who is this guy?
The great Andy Graziano!
Andy Graziano in studio! Let's do it!
Welcome to the Point Blank Podcast, covering New York Islanders hockey. Here are your hosts, Brian Compton and Mike Carver.
Hello and welcome to the Islanders Point Blank Podcast. Brian Compton, Mike Carver, and Andy Graziano here with you in the studio. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Brian.
It's great to see you, buddy.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. It's been a while.
Great.
It's been a while. You've never been here.
Too, Mike, so. We talk all the time. You called me a liar on Twitter the other day, so I'm still a little angry at you.
I did. It's okay.
So much to talk about. A fantastic start to the road trip. A bit of a bump in the road on Saturday in Columbus. A 7-0 thumping.
Bump on the road.
Well, come on. You never know what can happen in Dallas.
I'd call that hitting the divider when you're driving down the highway.
That's flipping the car.
Not really a bump in the road.
That's flipping
nice.
The whole vehicle.
7-0 whitewashing in Columbus.
Not good.
So much for all those stats before the game, how the team's coming off the bye, haven't been playing well.
Yeah.
Columbus really proved that wrong.
Yeah. And then they beat the Rangers
last night. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Andy, what's the biggest takeaway so far from this road trip? Obviously, it was a very good game in Columbus, but it's going okay so far, Saturday aside, right?
I mean, you got to like 2 out of 3 in Detroit, in Montreal, huge shutout, obviously. The loss to Columbus, the thing that concerns me about that, if you look at their last, 8 games, they're 5-4, I'm sorry, in their last 9. But the 4 losses, I think, is what really concerns me the most, right? You had the 3-0 loss in Ottawa where they didn't show up. You had the 7-1 loss in Toronto. You had the 3-2 loss in Jersey where they didn't show up for 40 minutes. And now you have the 7-0 loss in Columbus. So I think more concerning than the trip starting out well with 2 out of 3 is those 4 losses in their last 9 games have been really, really big losses where the team just kind of failed to show up. And that's a little bit of an alarming trend for me at this point.
It seems like it's one or the other. They either come out and they play great, or they come out and they don't show
Get
up
destroyed,
at all.
Right?
You don't see too many games now where they're in the whole game and then which we saw a lot of this year. They're in the whole game and they lose on a late goal.
Right.
They haven't gotten any of those in the last month, you could say. It's been all or nothing. It's been a great effort with a big win, like in Montreal on Thursday night, like in Detroit on Tuesday, or you get completely run out of the building, which is tough to see.
Here's my biggest takeaway from the thumping in Columbus. I absolutely loved that Dougie called timeout late in the game and just ripped into these guys, because you never, ever, ever saw that from Jack Capuano. It's tremendous.
Exactly true, and you see it again today. Arthur Staple reporting from practice this morning that Dougie had him do a bag skate there at the end.
Good.
with suicides, so I mean, getting back to basics, getting back to conditioning. The Islanders have a lot of games coming up. March is a very busy month. And I'll tell you, the teams that they're chasing and that are chasing them are really not that far behind. If you look at the Flyers, 68 points for the Islanders, 63 for the Flyers, even in games. Tampa Bay and Buffalo are only 6 points back of the Islanders. The Devils even are only 7 points back of the Islanders. If the Islanders continue to, if they skid and these teams get on a streak here in March, these standings could flip day to day.
As fast as the Islanders made up all that ground and jumped all those other teams is as fast as they can do it.
Sure.
As these other teams can do it to the Islanders. It can happen so quickly. And we'll talk later about moves that might be made, all about these teams that are with the Islanders in the East that can change things fast. And you've got 6 more games to go on this road trip. 2-3 is a good start. You break this up into 3 3-game stretches, and you can go 2-3 in all 3 of them, I'd say that's a home run.
Agree.
I don't know if they're going to be able to do that, but 2 out of 3. The other thing from the 7-0 game, you talked about Dougie.
Yeah.
Also the captain, John Tavares,
pathetic.
After the game, calling
tremendous.
It a pathetic performance,
huge, yeah. Yep.
Which I have to agree with him 1,000%. And a nice job by him saying that after the game, because that's not typical of John Tavares. You don't see him do that often. He's a captain that leads by example, you can say, but for him to come out and actually say the performance was pathetic is pretty telling.
I think it's Dougie rubbing off on the captain, because John is a terrific guy, Andy, as you know. You're in the room all the time, like I am, but he's very robotic. I don't think he'll tell you what you need to hear.
Exactly.
Very scripted. For him to kind of go off the script like he did, I think it's Dougie Wade rubbing off on his players.
I don't think in 4 or 5 years I've ever heard him use the word pathetic, to be honest with you.
No, and he had plenty of opportunities to use that word.
Exactly right.
I got no problem with that. I really don't. I didn't have any problem with him doing that on Saturday. Because that's what that performance was. It was pathetic.
On a happier note, tremendous moment for Anthony Beauvillier to score in his hometown, his dad crying in the stands after the goal, and then the hilarious prank before the game, letting him go out there and take a twirl by himself for warm-up. It's a pretty cool moment.
You're a big Bo fan.
I love Bo.
It's not that he didn't open my eyes earlier in the season, but now since Wade's come on and he's really giving him the grind every game, putting him in the lineup, going out there, getting his 13, 15 minutes. Man, he has impressed me tremendously.
Andy, and I said it earlier in the season, he needs to play in the middle.
You did.
He's a center.
Absolutely.
If they're not going to go out and get somebody in the next 48 hours.
Who isn't a center? there you go.
But of the centers that they have, other than John Tavares, and look, they still have not replaced Franz Nielsen adequately, and I think Beauvillier could evolve into that guy down the road.
I think they want him to evolve into that guy. You know, you kind of have to wonder now, you know, we kind of get into the grind of the NHL season. Bo's never been through this kind of 82 game with travel and all that stuff. He may need to be, his minutes may need to be managed even more coming down the stretch here so it doesn't kind of burn out.
But how do you do that now that Casey Cizikas is out 4 weeks?
Right.
Because he's the most logical replacement for the things that Cizikas does. Well, barring a trade, which we'll get into. But with Cizikas out, Beauvillier's the guy in the middle for them.
Exactly.
Right?
I agree.
He's deserved a little extra time here. There's no doubt about that. He's played well. I liked him a little bit there with Brock and Strom. He was getting out there with those guys a little bit. It's nice that he backed up the little prank before the game with a goal. That always helps because it is what it is. But it was nice to see. And the kid goes home and he gets it done. So good for him, and he needs to keep playing well. And like Andy said, he's got to push through this little grind because now you're starting to get into territory of more games than you've ever played before in a season, which is tough.
And practices and travel, it really does.
But as Brian will point out, he sat for so many games in November and December that I'm sure he's fresh, right?
He's in perfect condition.
He sat so much in the middle of the year that he's ready to go.
Play 72 every night. I must have tweeted that 11 billion times over the first 3 months.
My favorite saying. Favorite saying that you have is 11 billion.
Cal Clutterbuck skated Monday. Little concerned here, Andy. This is something that's kind of reoccurring. They need Cal Clutterbuck down the stretch if they're going to make the playoffs.
It's got to be. Art had mentioned briefly that it was a soft tissue. You know, I was told it could have something to do with his hip. I don't know. I don't think it's anything lower than that.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe in that
hip
area.
Let's not go any lower.
Makes me uncomfortable. And that's, you know, we've seen soft tissue injuries before, like high ankle sprains and stuff like that. Those are really tough injuries to come back from. I think Cal's probably feeling a little bit pressure, obviously, signing the extension. Then all of a sudden, boom, he gets hurt like that. He wasn't having a great offensive season to begin with. I think we know what he got paid for, and that was what's inside of him, not generally what his statistics say.
I'm a little concerned. I think you have to be.
You
just gave the guy a lot of years and a lot of money.
Yeah.
And look, I don't fault them for doing that, but a lot of injuries here, and he's the kind of player that, like you said, he throws himself around a lot. I'd be worried long term. I think that they'll be okay in the short term because they've shown that they've been without him a lot here over this stretch where they've played really well. But I'm looking long term, I'm a little concerned.
Well, I think the biggest thing, and we said this right after the contract was signed, Mike, I think the biggest reason for that contract signing was to make John Tavares happy. This was Darth telling John, look, I'm not trading all of your friends. I know I've done that in the past. I know some of your other friends have left via free agency, but Cal Clutterbuck is obviously very close with Johnny. But all that being said, he is a vital part of this hockey team and what they've accomplished over the last couple of years.
Look, I'm a big believer in the fact that Matt Martin leaving, for me, wasn't about skill. Because I think they upgraded with Jason Chimera, obviously, in terms of skill and speed and that kind of. I think where Matt Martin is missed is the intangibles, I think, in the locker room. Brian, you and I saw how crucial Matt Martin was to that locker room. Now we kind of, in my opinion, kind of Johnny Boychuk's kind of taken over that role a little bit. But that's where I think they missed Matt Martin the most. And that's, to your point, excellently made, I think, is that was the message that we're not going to get rid of another heart and soul guy.
So before we get into a couple other things here, just to kind of bow this up. So maybe no Clutterbuck, maybe no Prince, no Cizikas, and now Ladd this morning not skating, might be having a little bit of a problem. Starting to lose bodies here on the forward count. We saw Kearns on Saturday in Columbus.
Yes, we did.
Obviously, he sent back. He got sent back because they needs to keep playing. They're off for 4 days here. I don't know if Bridgeport has a game between now and Thursday.
I don't have the schedule in front of me, but it's usually a weekend league.
If this is going to become a long-term thing with all these bodies out, do we possibly see Dal Cole or Hosang? I don't think you see Hosang. We said this months ago. I don't think that guy sees an Islander jersey ever.
I believe it when I see it.
That's my opinion. But maybe Dal Cole. If it's going to be a little longer, because I think Kearns is a short-term thing.
Yeah.
Kearns is a guy you throw out there for one night when you're short. If you know you're going to be short for a long Western Canadian road trip here, are we going to see somebody else?
Have they said anything about
Barring Ladd? Barring a trade. in the next 48 hours.
Have they said anything about Ladd?
Staple said Ladd's having a little bit of a back issue, but should be fine. Should be fine.
That could
for
be
Thursday.
A reoccurring thing too.
Well, that's
that was the issue
that was something
the first
that came out
months.
That said it was he that happened to him in camp. So that's not good.
Should maybe, be fine. Doesn't mean he's definitely going to play Thursday.
Maybe Dal Cole. No on Hosang.
I don't think
happening.
Hosang will ever play.
And the only other guy I can think of, they loved Tanner Fritz in training camp.
Okay. I heard that too.
So there's possibilities possible. Here if these bodies continue
well, you have
to crumble.
Somebody's got to play.
Fritz is on IR. I'm saying not Kearns. I'm saying we see somebody. With a little bit more future and skill is what I'm
that
saying.
That would be Dal Cole, than, I think.
Kearns. We know what Kearns is.
But Dal Cole hasn't had a great year down there.
No, Michael Fornabio, who covers the Sound Tigers, excellently.
Been a little better lately.
Yes, he has.
Dal Cole's been a little better lately. He said he's still pretty much learning on the job. He's still kind of getting the feel of his first pro season down there in Bridgeport. He's got only, he's had 53 games, got 29 points. It's been kind of a slow offensive season for him. Hosang's been literally on fire lately. He's been all over the score sheet. He's up to 36 points in 48 games now. But I agree. I just think Hosang at this point is too immature to be called up right now. He seems to have gotten his head on straight over the last month or so.
Great to see him playing well.
Who knows how long that's going to last with him. Was that finally his wake-up call, or I don't think that's something you risk.
I think we're all rooting for Josh to mature and be the guy that the Islanders thought that they were getting couple years back, but it's up to him ultimately.
Absolutely.
He has all the skill in the world.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it.
All right, Mike, you ready? You ready to get into it?
Oh,
sure,
boy.
Let's move on to the
Here
next
one. Here we go. The latest news from Bloomberg the other day, Jim Dolan is interested in investing in the Belmont Arena site if that does come to fruition.
Good for Jim.
What do you think?
Listen, I'm going to say what I always say. I don't believe it. Here's a couple things. One, I don't care that Jim Dolan's involved with it. And for the Ranger fans that were taking digs at the Islanders at the end of last week when this came out, you need our owner to come save you. Guys, I hate to break it to you. Jim Dolan is already heavily invested in the Islanders.
Right.
They play on his network, okay? They've been playing on his network for a long time.
Yes, they have.
And they're signed to play on his network for even longer.
Going back to the Metro
Channel. So let's relax on he's coming to save your franchise because he's invested in the Islanders, whether he's involved in the arena or not.
Right.
He owns the, MSG and SNY are, and yes, there's three sport networks in town. He owns one, and he has the Islanders on it.
Right.
So that's why Jim Dolan is invested in the Islanders. Yes or no?
Agreed.
So if he wants to get involved and the Wilpons want to get involved and everybody wants to get involved and build a building at Belmont Park, I'm all for it.
Absolutely.
I don't believe it, but go ahead and have fun. I don't care. Good for you, Jim.
Andy, what do you think?
If they can get an Islander-centric building.
Which would be nice.
Built in Belmont.
Right.
Where they're the anchor tenant. And you expand that LIRR station, but it's not going to fix the issues with the LIRR. It's not going to fix the complaints with the LIRR that we hear now. It's not going to put them back in the Coliseum.
Well,
which
yeah,
a lot
because
of
there's
want.
Only one way to get there on the railroad. You have to go to Jamaica first and then go back, right? Unless you're on the Hempstead line.
I think it's only a seasonal station. It's only used for the summer.
That. Right.
But I think it's only one track in, one track out, from what I understand.
Yeah.
So they're definitely going to have to make major improvements to that, or you're going to cut off everybody west of that.
Most people would drive. It's off the Cross Island. I mean, it's easy to get to.
You could make a – listen, going off the Meadowbrook to the old Coliseum was easy. This is off the Cross Island.
It's
a little bit heavier of a traffic situation on the Cross Island than on the Meadowbrook Parkway.
Anyone coming from the west, you got the belt involved, which is the most important.
Absolutely. But they have the infrastructure to get in and out of the place. It's not like it's impossible.
Agreed, yeah.
They have two – if you go up and down the Cross – there's two or three ways to get into Belmont Park throughout the place. I think it would be good, but I'm not a believer. But what does make me a little bit more okay, let's see, is for the first time you had Arthur go and say, this might be legitimate.
Exactly.
You have people like Cuomo and other people saying that they're backing it. I don't care about the crooks in Nassau County, what they say, whether they talk or not about this.
Well, that takes them out of this, right? Because they'd be dealing with New York politicians instead of Nassau County.
And that's the best thing possible because those people are miserable.
You take Long Island politics right out of the whole equation.
The one roadblock, as far as Nassau is concerned, is the people living around Belmont who don't want anything built there because nobody in Nassau County believes in any progress whatsoever.
And they've blocked
politicians and citizens. It's ridiculous.
I agree.
They blocked the casino already.
Yeah, it's a joke.
That was a possibility, and the residents around there got together. I know one guy in particular that lives two blocks from Belmont Park. So they all got together, and they did all these rallies and all these things that they did to keep it out. Now, casino is a different story than a sporting arena. It is a different story. Casino is a 24 hours a day, all the time, having people going in and out of there. This is different. So maybe they'd be more into it, but I don't know that. It's a long way to go. We'll see what happens. But and one thing we also saw in this, they are not going back to the repainted Coliseum.
No.
They're not.
Well, we've been saying that for months.
They're not going back to that. And that tells you even more that they're not going back to the repainted Nassau Coliseum.
Belmont's got a great shot as long as it gets private financing, in my opinion.
Right.
I don't think they're not going to get public financing.
They're not going down that road again. Because we already know what the answer is going to be.
Right.
As far as Dolan goes, it goes back to what Robert Brodsky from Newsday told us a few weeks ago.
Right.
If Dolan's involved in this and Barclays kicks the Islanders out after the 2018-19 season, the Islanders have a place to go. They will play at MSG.
While the building is being built.
Well, where else are they going to go, Andy?
Absolutely.
That would be awesome.
I have no problem with that. If it's while a building is
being
built.
The home schedule would stink because you have the Rangers and the Knicks and concerts and everything else, but they will play at MSG if this comes to fruition.
And they'll probably end up with a better home record than the Rangers.
Oh, no, I'm not going there. Listen,
I don't have a problem with it if that does happen, like we told Robert that day. Any more crazy, outrageous arena stories you have from this week or no? You want to play at the Izod Center? You want them to play there or no?
Izod? Can somebody tell you that?
Yeah, I had the Izod Center brought up to me yesterday. They can play at the Izod Center. So
Isles fans love going to Brooklyn, so we throughout the first
Let's cross two rivers and go watch the Islanders play. So
Jersey's a great alternative.
Once again, people, I don't believe it until I see the shovel. And it's,
I'm with you.
As great as it sounds.
And the only other thing I will say before we get on to the trade deadline stuff, if this happens, the Coliseum has to get knocked down. It cannot survive.
I agree, Brian.
It will become the Long Island Arena in Comac. It'll be a flea market for 2 or 3 years, and then they'll just raise it.
I agree.
You can't have two buildings 5 miles apart.
It'd be dead.
You agree, Mike?
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. We're about 48 hours away from the trade deadline. I'm still on the Matthew Shane train. I hope this happens. I don't think it will, but obviously Garth is very interested in landing a guy like Matthew Shane, especially now that Cizikas is out. I think you need another center. And let's face it, we said it going back to last year, Mike, these owners are dead serious about telling everybody that they're serious.
Right.
They were going to be all in on Stamkos before he signed on June 29th or 30th, whenever it was. There's nothing to hold Garth Snow back from making this trade. It's just a matter of the price.
There's nothing to hold him back, but you look at a deal that was already made with Hansel going to Minnesota for a ton. And, I mean, I don't
know
where
which doesn't bother me for one second. I love what Fletcher
Where you want to rank Hansel and Duchesne, I don't know.
And that was a rental. This is 2 years of Matt Duchesne.
Right. I think that this price is going to be astronomical. I just don't see it happening. I really don't. I don't think it's going to happen. And I also don't think that Matt Duchesne is going to be worth what is being talked about is what's needed to do it. I don't think so.
Andy, what do you think?
You know, I think if you take a look, I tend to think differently of the Hansel trade. I don't think that matters to me anyway in what the price is going to be for ultimately for Matt Duchesne, because I think you're talking rental market versus a guy with term, which I tend to keep very distinct of each other. I think the price on Duchesne was expensive from the start.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Joe Sakic has moved from that at all. He wants a top 4D.
Nor should he.
He's
under
prospect.
No pressure to trade him.
None at all.
Yeah.
Duchesne's locked in at 2 more years after this one. It's a $6 million cap hit. He's 26 years old. He's a versatile, great skating center, excellent on faceoffs. Brock Nelson is scoreless in the last 10 games with 4 assists over that period. The Islanders have to improve that. The first line's been on fire, but after that, the offense has been kind of spotty.
Yep,
really spotty.
So Duchesne would be great for that spot. But if you're the Islanders, are you going to trade, let's just throw names, are you going to trade a Travis Hamonic? Are you going to trade a Matt Barzal? Are you going to trade a first-round pick in 17, which is considered to be a weak draft?
Right.
If Joe Sakic's willing to take that, I don't see how, if you're Garth Snow, you don't do that.
Here's my take before, Mike, I'll give you the floor here in a second. I think John Tavares is going to stay here. when push comes to shove.
I do too.
But as of right now, they have 16 months left of guaranteed time that John Tavares is an Islander. So for me, you better make it count.
I agree.
And that's why you go after Matthew Shane.
100%.
I'm with you on that, but here's what it sounds like it's going to be. It's going to be Barzal, Pulak, first rounder, plus. Isn't that right. What it sounds like it is right now?
Or if they prefer a more established D-man, you go from Pulak to Hamonic.
I think it's one of Pulak and Barzal, and I think it's a guy like Travis Hamonic.
I don't think Hamonic has the juice that he had.
Right, he can. He hasn't played.
I don't think he has the juice. This guy has an injury problem.
So what's it hurt to take a Hamonic on with the thoughts to next year, if that's the way Sakic's thinking? I don't think it really matters. You know what I mean? The Hamonic injury might not play that big of a role as we think it might.
It comes to a point where there's really, like with Minnesota, it comes to a point where holding on to first-round draft picks
enough of it already.
And all these things are
enough.
Just, you've been doing it for a long time. And now, it's at one time you have to actually say, let's go and roll the dice. Now, you could say they did do that with the Vanek deal a couple years ago, and that blew up in their face. I loved it at the time, but it blew up in their face. So I could see where Garth might be a little gun-shy in that aspect. But sometimes you just got to say, screw it, and just go and do it.
Listen, I like Matt Barzal. I've spoken to him numerous times. He's a great kid with a very bright future, I think. But I just said, I think, because I have no idea.
You still don't know.
What is he going to be at this level when you compare it to... You're getting Matt Duchene for at least 2 years, and you know what you're getting in Matt Duchene.
It's true.
How many times have Islander fans been taken down this road? This guy's going to be unbelievable. This guy's going to be unbelievable. And then guess what? They're not unbelievable.
Right.
Look, Barzal could be a great player. I hope that he is. But at some point, you have to accelerate this process. And more importantly, like I said earlier, show John Tavares how serious you are about winning.
You have to go with the known over the unknown at some point. And as much as we all like Barzal, I think all three of us like him a lot and think that he could be a big player, he's still technically an unknown.
Absolutely. I mean, what is he projected?
We have no idea.
He's projected to be obviously a crafty, shifty skater. He's a great passer. But what does that make him? An Adam Oates? Let's just say,
right.
For comparison basis,
well,
15
hopefully.
Goals.
Adam Oates was a great player.
I know, but what I mean is Adam Oates was what, 15 to 18 goals a year, a ton of assists, right? That's probably what Matt Barzal might be most comparable to, and that's still guessing, as you said.
That's a high end.
Exactly. I mean, this year, 37 games, 9 goals, 62 assists,
right?
I mean, so if you're comparing, maybe you make that loose comparison, but as you said, Brian, we don't know.
We have no idea.
I'm sick and tired of the... And then what? They're going to bury Barzal because they're scared of what they did to Josh Bailey. So let's make Barzal wait 3-4 years to even come up here.
I think he can make this team next year. But again, what if he makes it and he doesn't have a good year?
Give me a guy like Duchene. Give me a guy like Jordan Eberle. Give me a guy like Tyler Johnson, if possible. Guys who I know.
I like Tyler Johnson.
I love Tyler Johnson.
And would be cheaper.
And I think
the
Lightning, with the trade of Bishop yesterday, they still have a lot of issues.
Yeah.
They got the Hedman deal kicking in next year. They got Johnson, Palat, Drouin, Suster, all restricted. Brian Boyle, they're probably going to move. Witkowski, unrestricted. They only have like $6 million in cap space right now. So Steve Yzerman's got to make another move, I think.
I know everybody's on this train. The Islanders need an elite wing for John Tavares. I mean, you've watched this top line play for the past 3 months, and I don't know why people are still screaming about this.
Yeah.
They need a center, I think, more than anything
else. Totally agree.
I like Jordan Eberle a lot, but if you're going to give up a lot for one of these guys, I'd much rather have Matt Duchene than Jordan
Eberle. If Brock Nelson was producing in that spot, I'd say no, but he's not. He's not. For the third straight year, he's fallen apart in the second half of the season.
Yeah. It stinks.
For the third straight season.
Let's just tell it like it is. He's not that good. He's just not. I don't care if it's been 30 days, not 30 days. He's not that good. I really don't. I know I said I wouldn't say anything bad about him. He's just not that good. I don't think that's me really critical. He's just not that good. Let's just be honest. He's not that
Scott
good.
Scott Mayfield's been playing pretty well.
He has, and I will give him a pump. Mayfield has played really well. I got to give him some credit. I was all over him at the beginning
of the
year.
Big question I have, what's up with Pulak? Why is he being buried?
Well, that's...
Well, I think the biggest thing is they want to make sure he's playing game in and game out, which the way these defensemen are going, I still would rather see him. I'd much rather see Pulak here right now on the power play than Johnny Boychuk, because they're asking Boychuk to do way too much.
Do you move Seidenberg for a pick? Because not thinking
no,
he's going to sign.
Seidenberg's been unbelievable.
Well, Seidenberg's been really good, but he is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Do you move him and bring Pulak up?
No.
Some people feel the Islanders should sell.
Right.
So you could sell, according to Rob Volman of ESPN.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Sell.
I respect Rob. There's
no point in trying to squeeze into a spot and compete. You should Instead of giving up future assets to try squeeze into the postseason, this could be an opportunity to improve the team's long-term health by freeing up cap space and building up its organizational strength.
Like for the last 15 years.
Yeah, we've been reading stories like that for 30 years.
Exactly. So there you go. There's and another angle I respect the Islanders Volman can take in the next 48 hours.
That just holds. That, to me, the Islanders are not going to be sellers. If anything, Brian, I think you mentioned it on Twitter last night. They're either going to buy or stand pat. They're all not selling.
Yes or no?
Hit a home run, for God's sakes.
Yes or no?
Enough. Come on, let's see.
I agree. A grand slam. Forget the home run. Hit a grand slam.
Yes or no? Do they make a move before Wednesday at 3 o'clock? And I don't mean Shane Prince. I mean, do they make a move before Wednesday at 3 o'clock?
I'm going to be the ever.
And not Brian Gionta.
I'm going to be the ever.
I'm talking about a Duchesne type of deal.
I'm going to be the ever cautiously optimistic self that I like to be and say this is finally the year where snow goes in.
Brian?
I think they're all in. It's just a matter of does
Will it happen by Wednesday?
Oh, come on. Don't do that to me. I'll say yes. Why not?
All right.
Yes.
I'm saying no.
So I do nothing not care. Happen.
Nothing significant.
Or a Shane Prince type of move.
They might make a move like that, but I don't care about moves like that. BS moves like that, I don't care
we
about.
We will not do an emergency podcast.
No, absolutely
Thursday
not. I'm talking about reeling in the big player, and I don't think it's going to happen. They haven't done it. I think it's going to be they might get somebody like that. It'll be like last year. A Shane Prince type of move. I just think that the price is going to be too big, and I would probably pay the price, even though I haven't been high on Duchesne. I would probably.
Well, ask you this. Let me ask you guys this. I mean, in terms of the trade deadline, Hamonic, Barzal, and a first for Duchesne. Yes or no?
I'd do that in a second.
I would do it.
Me too. It's got to be done. But and then it's kind of tough for us, and this is what fans don't get, because if that doesn't happen, let's say, they're going to immediately get on Snow and say, how could he not have gotten him? You don't know. I think there's an Islander offer out there for Duchesne, based on what I was told.
Right.
I think there's something out there. I don't say players' names. I feel it's disrespectful to them, but I think there's an offer out there.
Right.
If that's what the offer is, Sakic still may not like it. You know what I mean? So it's not always just on Snow. But I do think Art's got to make a big move this year.
I don't think that trade's enough, just because of the year that Travis has had with the injuries and everything else.
I don't think it's enough.
That's fair.
I think you'd have to throw Pollock in there too.
Would you sub Hamonic for Pollock then? In the same deal.
I'm not giving them Pollock and Barzal.
Okay.
I say you can have one.
I would.
Fair enough.
I would. I'm soured on Pollock here in this year.
I'm a little bit.
I think he's an injury concern. I think he gets hurt once or twice a year.
Yeah.
The last two years. I don't know what's going on. They don't bring him up. I get it. Other guys have played well. I've in a Duchesne deal. I'm not saying I'd give him away for nothing.
Yeah.
I'm saying I would put him in a big deal
to
bring back Duchesne. I'm not saying I don't like him. I'm not saying that I wouldn't give him away. But in a big package, if he has to be included, I'm okay with giving him up now.
Before we go, does Yaroslav Halak get traded?
Jeez, I hope so.
I hope so, for his sake. I think he deserves to be in the NHL. I just don't think he wants to be on the Islanders. I think he's tired of that three-goalie situation real quickly. I think that the situation that happened between Snow and Walsh with the Twitter battle there, with Walsh firing off the tweets, Halak claiming he didn't know Walsh was doing that.
Come on, stop it.
Seriously? Yarrow, come on. Well, I wasn't born yesterday.
He's not.
I would hope he does.
And we didn't get into this much today. Berube's got to play better when he goes into games.
Again.
We've done this before. Berube has to play better when he gets put into games now. I know it wasn't his fault the first couple months, but in all honesty, Yaroslav Halak is never going to play a game for the Islanders again.
Right.
Grice and Berube could get hit by a bus outside on 6th Avenue right now.
Mike Dunham.
And they would still not bring Halak up to play for the Islanders. They are done with Halak.
I'll tell you what.
Okay?
I get the fans' frustration about this because we've seen Berube play now for a good couple of months. What this whole soap opera was about,
right.
I said
it wasn't worth
verbatim
it.
On this show a few months ago. This is not Ken Dryden. I don't understand why Snow made everybody deal with this because
but we can
ridiculous.
Agree that he's playing that well, practice no way is a game and he's playing once every 10 days
but it's becoming a regular thing now where he's got his own net in practice and he's playing once a week like
he
a normal
in,
backup goalie
he's
gotta
does be better.
He has not been good
he's got
he comes
hasn't.
In the game
the other night in Columbus was Seeley, he let up some really bad goals.
Whether he starts or he comes in he's getting racked every time it happens
fair enough.
This just makes Garth look bad because he made it out, like Bryce says, like he was Dryden, and now he probably won't even be on the team next year.
The whole thing
he's
was
not
a mess
be
from the start, the three-goalie thing. We said it the whole year.
They are not winning 2-1 games when he starts.
Correct.
They have to score 3 or 4 goals every time he's in there.
Guess
they
should have traded for Ben Bishop, right? That would have been
Oh, boy.
There you go.
That's if they're going to pick up a goalie Wednesday. There
you go. That'll be your trade. Okay. I hope Jarl gets moved because
so do I.
He deserves to go.
He deserves
play
to play,
in the
but
NHL.
I don't think he wants to be with the Islanders, and I think that they're not going to bring that.
They don't want him.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They're not going to bring that back. They're not going to bring that drama and tension back into the locker room at this point.
I hope he's still there on the 11th. I'm going up to Bridgeport to see the squad, so hopefully Jarl's still there. I can check him out.
Hopefully it'll be an interesting 48 hours. We'll see how it plays out. Andy, thanks for coming in, buddy. This
Thank
was great.
You very much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks,
Mike,
Andy.
See
thanks,
you in the
Mike.
New studio next week.
Next
downtown.
Week in a new home for SNY. We'll be there, and I can't wait to check it out. I heard it's really nice.
Should be fun. Thanks for listening to the Islanders Point Blank Podcast. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Islanders Point Blank Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.